it's almost like, you know, you give somebody a fish, they eat for a day, you teach them how to fish, they eat forever. And that's been our philosophy, is to teach people how to work our lead program. And if you're a big personal producer and you work the lead program correct and spend the right amount of time, energy, and effort on the right things, you can work yourself to the point that you will have customers that will repeat and repeat and repeat, and you will never, ever, ever need a lead for the rest of your life. So that's what I try to teach people when they come into the business and get started, is how they can work themselves out of the lead program, replace themselves in the lead program, so to speak, and actually not need leads. I mean, I have clients that call me constantly to come in and redo business with them, do more things for them. And obviously where I'm sitting at right now and the way I travel and my schedule and all of those things, I have to send an agent in to take care of them, so I have somebody to do that for me. But at this point, folks, I'm just telling you, there's clients that when their grandchildren's grandchildren need something, they still call me today because of the way that I've built my business over the last 24 to 25 years. And that's the longevity that we want you to see in this company, not just a flash in the pan, not just a lead program that gets you something today, but something that'll take care of you and your family from now on. Now, in setting this up, folks, you know, we can talk about scripts. We can talk about manuals for scripts. We can talk about training. We can put stuff out on the internet. We can get it in your hands. You know, all of that is great. But, folks, the first thing that we've got to do, and the first thing that everybody listening to me on this call today is going to have to realize, is you're going to have to make a change mentally inside of you. There's got to be a mindset that you refuse to lose. Okay? Now, I try to tell people in as nice a way as I can, and I don't mean this to be ugly in any way. I'm trying to be very, very nice in saying it. But if you look in the mirror today, right now, and you see that reflection coming back at you, that is a direct result of your efforts. Now, good, bad, or indifferent, that's where you're at right now in your life. If you're happy, if you're excited, if you're motivated about where you're at, God bless you. If you're not, then you got to change. And you've got to be the one to make that internal change. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face. You can get on every conference call. You can read every thing we send out on email. You can get every MP3. But until you personalize it, folks, until you internalize it, until you make a change for you, it's not going to happen. And I believe with everything in me, on these techniques that I'm getting ready to train you on, and I can't train on how to take a customer and turn them into a client for life without talking to you about how you first can become successful, because you got to get the customer first, all right? And there's four steps. I know if I opened this line up today that I would have a number of people on here that could actually quote the four steps. Because if you've ever heard me speak, somewhere in my conversation, you're going to hear these four steps. All right? Now, here's why they're so important, folks. I've studied multiple seven-figure income earners for the last 24 years of my life. And every single one of them have these four steps in common. There's not a one that's missing any of the steps. Okay? So to me, you are who, or you become who you hang around. You become who you duplicate. You can, you know, when you go in a room full of people, it's pretty simple. Everybody in that room has an opinion. Now, the key is, what have they done with those opinions? How successful are they with those opinions? And is that really the opinion that you want to listen to? if they're making multiple seven figures, I would say yes, if it's moral and ethical and, you know, all above board and all that good stuff. But if they're broke, disgusted, and busted, I'm not interested in their opinion. So what I'm saying is, folks, you need to be very careful who you listen to and whose opinion you take, okay? Now, in saying that, folks, step number one, and then I'm going to move on to what I want to talk about today, but step number one is obviously passion. Now, I'm going to talk about it for 30 seconds or less, and that's hard to do for me, all right? But there's so many different kinds of passions, folks. There's so many different things that you can get excited about. You know, for me, I heard somebody say the other day, there's like 50 days left to Christmas. Man, that's amazing. It's probably less than that by now. It's amazing to me that Christmas is right around the corner. Now, here's a question for you to ask yourself. Are you going to give love again this year for Christmas? Are you going to get busy between now and December the 25th and let your family have the Christmas that they deserve? See, for me, that's passion. That's a passionate move for you to step up to the plate and say, you know what, I'm not going to do it again this year. I'm going to get out there, and I'm going to bust my butt, and I'm going to make something happen. And when we get up the 25th and we look under that tree, my little girl or my little boy, their eyes are going to glow, and they're going to light up when they see the special Christmas we have for them. Now, does that just mean material things? No, it doesn't. Folks, let me tell you something. How about taking a week off to spend with your family the week of Christmas? See, how about lighting up some eyes in? Your children are going to be out of school. Things are going to be quiet around there. How about financially being able to sit down in front of the fireplace, in front of whatever it is you have in your house, and actually spend a solid week of quality time with your family, because you don't have to worry about the bills, you don't have to worry about the fact that you've charged this Christmas, and now you're going to work all year next year to pay off the bills just so your children could have things and keep up with the Joneses. You see what I'm saying? It's not just about material things, folks. There's different kinds of passions. There's the time that you're able to spend, or how about this? The day after Christmas, you're right back to work. Why? Because you didn't do what you needed to do for you and your family between now and Christmas. I hope you're getting the point of what I'm saying. It's not just about the material things that you can purchase for your family for Christmas. Okay? Now, let's talk about some other passions. See, mine, I have an unbelievable passion when we get, see, a lot of people right now this time of the year will say, well, Thanksgiving's coming up in a couple weeks. It's almost Christmas. Boy, after the first of the year, I'm going to kick some serious butt. Well, let me tell you something, folks. We ain't slowed down on mailing. Leads are coming. People are sending letters in left and right. We should get anywhere from 18,000 to 19,000 families in this week. And you know what those families are doing? They're crying out for help. They're saying on these leads when they come back in, I desperately need protection. God forbid if something happened to me or my husband or me or my wife, our children would not even have a place to lay their head down through the holiday season. Now, I don't know how we can take that lightly. I don't know how we can not be serious about that. I don't know how we can let those leads lay on our desk and say, well, it's almost Thanksgiving. It's almost Christmas. I'll jump on after New Year's. Folks, these people aren't promised to be here New Year's. These people aren't promised to make it through the holiday season. Open the paper tomorrow morning and read the obituaries of the people that's not going to be around this year for the holidays. All right? And it always seems to happen, folks. Tragedies happen at holidays. It's amazing how that works, but it works that way. And it happens all around the United States. So there's so many things, folks, that you can get passionate about that can drive you to do that little bit more, that little bit extra. All right? So I want to see if you can reach inside of you and figure out what it is this season between now and the end of the year that you can get excited about. Now, let's talk about another thing you can get excited about and you can get passionate about. Valentine's weekend, we're going to take about 40 couples to Vegas. Has your family ever been to Vegas? Has your spouse ever been to Vegas? Have they ever been on an all-expense trip to Vegas? Have they ever went out and eaten at the nice, you know, Emeralds restaurant and things like that? They're out there, folks. There's a way to go to Vegas, and then there's a way to go to Vegas. When we go to Vegas, we're going to go to Vegas. All right, you're not going to be eating on the corner at McDonald's. You're going to be eating in five-star restaurants. You're going to be going to the nicest shows out there that's $200 and $300 a ticket to go to, and it's all going to be paid for. What about you? What about busting it from now to the end of the year so that Valentine's weekend you can take that loved one to Las Vegas, all expenses paid, and treat them like they deserve to be treated? See, there's another passion for you, folks. How about by the end of the year being way ahead on F&G's premium so you can take them to the Greek islands next year and take them on that cruise that's like 9 days that you've always promised you're going to do, all expenses paid? How about going to Portugal? Okay, how about spending time in Portugal with us from Forrester's Group, an 18-month contest that's, the numbers, I was talking to a fellow today at lunch, and the numbers are just, I don't know, they didn't even put no numbers on that one. They just give that trip away, all right? But see, those are the passions, folks. Those are the things that you need to reach inside of you and figure out what it is you'll fight that extra fight for, all right? And the second step is commitment. Once you figure out what you're fighting for, folks, then it's very simple to commit to something. And see, my deal is, I expect 85 to 90% of the people that are listening to me today on this phone have been involved in something their whole life. Okay? Civic groups, organizations, charitable organizations, churches, you name it, just involved. But not committed, folks. Commitment is all or nothing. It's a major difference in being involved in something and committed to something. When's the last time you drew the line in the sand and said, come heck or high water, this is it, I'm committed, I'm all in? Now, you can't be all in if you're not passionate about it, if you're not excited about it, if it doesn't mean everything to you. See, it just will not happen, folks. It's got to be all or nothing. And that's the difference in involvement and commitment. So I want to see you have a committed attitude that you are just locked down, locked out, focused in, determined, and you're going to make it happen. Okay? That's all or nothing. Number three is the coachability. Folks, that kills about 80% of the people on the phone. They're coachable to a point. They're coachable when it's convenient. Well, let me give you a clue. Convenience and greatness don't mix. It never has, and it never will. Folks, you're going to pay the price, and you're going to pay it in advance. Here's the key. If we could tell you in some kind of way and get the point across to you how good it's going to be when you get there, you'd be coachable. But I don't know how to verbalize that to you. I don't know. You know, again, it's not about money. See, folks, money is never a problem unless you don't have any. That's when it becomes a problem. All right? So it's not all about the greenbacks, except, again, when you don't have them. There's lots of options in your life when you have the money that you need to do the things that I've described in the first 15 minutes of this phone call. But the coachable part, folks, that's tough. If you're probably 35 or older and you're pretty much set in your ways, it's tough to change. People normally, naturally resist change. And they say they're coachable, but then they turn around and do the same things. And y'all have heard my definition on insanity. Continue to do what you've always done and expect different results. It's not going to happen. Nothing changes till something changes. And the 6 inches between your ears is what's got to change. You got to take your pride. You got to take your skill set, your mindset, all of that stuff, and you got to put that in your back pocket. And for once in your life, you got to say, okay, teach me. You got to humble yourself down and say, teach me. Now, folks, let me give you one of the greatest examples that I've ever seen on this right here. And my hat goes off to him. It's a gentleman by the name of Kevin Davies. And I've heard him get up on stage and speak with tears running down both of his cheeks. And Kevin came in business and works in the same organization as Stephen Davies, who is his son. And he stood up there and said, that young man has taught me more about business, more about life, more about surviving than I've ever learned from anybody I've ever been associated with. And it's his son, who's 30 years his junior. But now, do you think a dad coming into this business would have the right to say, son, wait a minute. Now, you're not going to tell me what to do. I brought you in this world, I'll take you out, make another one look just like you. See, that's most people's attitude. But he didn't say that. He said, son, you making about $800,000 a year. I ain't never made that kind of money. You ain't but 30 years old. I don't care what my age is. Help me. Teach me. See, that's coachability, folks. That's putting your hat in your hand. How many of you are willing to put your hat in your hand? See, I get so many calls from so many people saying, you know what? I don't like my manager. This ain't happening. I want to transfer. I want to do this. I don't believe in all that, folks. You know what? I think you're going to be successful or you're not. You're going to win or you're not. A winner is going to win. You can't keep them from winning. You know, if anybody on this phone knew who my manager was in the early days prior to this company, you would laugh. That joker was unbelievable. But in spite of him, I made it. Because of him, I made it. I mean, I don't want to get off on that subject. Coachability, folks. For once in your life, be coachable. Credibility. It's pretty simple. Treat people with the same respect that you want from them. Treat people like you want to be treated. When you sit down in homes and you talk to people about recruiting, treat them with respect. Treat them like you would treat your own family members. Treat them like if it was your grandmother sitting at that table, that's the way you'd want to be talking to them. It's called credibility, folks. It's very simple. Those four steps will make you successful in life, period. Passion, commitment, coachability, and credibility. Very simple. Now, let's increase your business, and let's teach you how to get referrals. Let's teach you how to make these customers become clients for life. After you get all of this, people can look in your eyes and smell a phony a mile away. After all of this is down pat, folks, and you truly believe in your heart of hearts and what you're doing, you're going to win at the kitchen table. All right? Now, step number one, you're at the kitchen table. You're at the end of the presentation. You've closed your business. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to request that Mrs. Jones or Mrs. Smith or whoever it is you're dealing with, go get the little address book and bring it to the table so that you can put your number in that book. You say, but I do that already. I give them a card. That's not what I just said. I said be coachable. I didn't say give them a card. They're going to lose the card. They're going to misplace the card. All right? Now, I'll give you an example. I had a guy that came to my house after he had sold one of my daughters a rainbow vacuum cleaner. And I was just trading up on houses, selling one, and the house I was buying had a central vacuum system in it. And I said, I doubt I'm going to need it. He said, oh, you definitely going to need it because them things ain't no count. He said, I'm just telling you before you get there, your wife ain't going to like it. She ain't going to lug your stuff up and down steps. She ain't going to do this. She ain't going to do that. I said, well, let me give it a shot. I said, if it don't happen, I'll call you. I promise. I won't call nobody else. I'll call you. I lost his card. Couldn't call him. Forgot the guy's name, but he was right. My wife didn't like it. Okay, so I was going to get her a rainbow. That was the one she wanted. So I looked around, knew the guy was from South Boston. I called information, asked them if they have a rainbow dealer, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Finally got in touch with a guy. Showed up at my house. I bought three of them. Okay, from the same guy, because I gave him my word I'd come back. I said, man, I'll tell you one thing. I had a hard time getting in touch with you. He said, all you had to do is call your daughter. I said, why is that? He said, I put my label on every single vacuum cleaner I've ever sold. He said, it would have been right on her vacuum cleaner. And sure enough, we looked. There it was. Name, address, phone number, everything. Right on her vacuum cleaner. But I didn't know. I didn't think to call her. Now, pretty simple thing, folks. But you ain't going to throw the vacuum cleaner away. It's got the name on it. You know what I mean? It's there. So what I'm saying is at the end of the presentation, I want you to get the address book in there, the little black book that they put all the important numbers in. And I want you to say, Ms. Jones, I want you to put my home number in there. I want you to put my cell number in there. I want you to put my office number in there. I want you to put it under P for Philip. I want you to put it under H for Hudgens. I want you to put it under I for insurance. I want you to know God forbid, when something happens to Mr. Jones, you ain't got to worry about it. You're going to be able to find my number, find my name, and you're going to be able to call me, and I'm going to take care of this situation in your time of need. I want you to have that comfort level knowing that I'm here for you. Now, what do you think she's going to do? Go get the black book, put my name, put my number, everything that I ask her to do. Now, very simple. Okay? Second thing I want you to do is I want you to review the product that they just purchased. Folks, how many times have you went back in a home, delivered the policy, and the people say, that ain't what I thought I bought, I don't want it. And you blame them. It's not their fault. If you're sitting in a home and they don't buy the first thing you show them and you have to make adjustments and make changes and do different things and lower the face amount or shorten the years or take some of the riders off, at the very end of the presentation, you better remind these people of what they bought. See, that's the last thing they're going to remember when you walk out that door. And when you come back, they'll remember that. But it's up to you to remind them what they purchased. Now, you do know this is a 15-year term, and we discussed the fact that you needed a 30, but you couldn't afford it, so we'll cover the first 15. Financially, you should be in better shape at the end of that. You'll need less coverage. You've paid some of the mortgage down, and we'll actually be able to go in and get you another 15-year term, and it may cost, you know, a little bit different, but we'll get another one, we'll put it in place, and you'll be covered for the next 15 years. The key is we got the first 15 covered. And they'll remember it, okay? Number three, review the conditional receipt or review the temporary insurance receipt, whichever product that you're selling. Let them know conditionally what that means. Let them know what this coverage stands for. Let them know some of the things that could happen to reject this coverage. Folks, I've had people come clean at this point and tell me that they smoke, that they do different things, that they're on medication, because they know after I explain the conditional receipt that if they've misled me in any way on this application, they don't have insurance for 2 years. And that's the way I explain it to them. So then they come clean. There's no need for me to have to come back in there and explain to that widow why I'm bringing back 6 months' worth of premium if he dies 6 months into this deal, because he's misled me or misrepresented information on this application. Okay? So you explain it to them in a way that they understand that. Now, number four, what I say, folks, is you review the worst-case scenario on the policy delivery. Now, we have companies that get these policies back in 3 to 5 days. But now, you'll never catch me sitting in a house explaining to Mr. and Ms. Client that I guarantee you I'm going to have this policy back in 5 to 6 days. No, I'm going to say it may take as long as 5 to 6 weeks. Now, why would I do that? Folks, I can go from zero to hero real quick on this point. If I tell them it may take up to 5 or 6 weeks, but I'll stay in touch with them, let them know what's happening, and all of a sudden in 3 days I get this policy back and I'm able to go back in there and deliver it, they say, whoa, that was quick. I say, yeah, I got some inside pull with the underwriters and I talked to them and we got this thing through just for you. Boom. It's done. Here's your policy. Here it is. But it's hard for me to go back in there and have to call these people every week and say, well, I'm sorry, underwriting's slow, this is held up, that's held up, blah, 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 blah. After two or three calls on that, I'm done, folks. They don't want the policy. Buyer's remorse sets in. I basically misled these folks. I told them I could get it in 3 to 5 days. It's been 6 weeks. They're frustrated with me. They don't want my policy. Just that simple. Okay? Number five, if there's any possibility of a rate increase, cover it now, folks. Look around at the people, the environment, the medicine on the table, the situation that you're in. Understand that, folks, and let these people know that you work for them, not the insurance company. They're your client, but let them know if there's a possibility of any increase, you're going to do the best you can to get them the best coverage possible. So what I would say in a situation like this, folks, is bottom line, if I'm looking at somebody and they've given me their height and their weight and they're a little bit overweight and then they got a little bit of blood pressure problems and it's a little cholesterol, I'm going to say something like this. Based on the information you've just given me on this application, I'm going to do the best I can to get you a policy back here just as we've described. But the company I'm dealing with, and if that's the situation. I got to deal with the right company that'll switch that product and write me another product if it doesn't go through. I can't have an accept reject on that one. Okay? So what I would say to them is, I'm going to call the underwriters. I'm going to work with them. I know them on a first name basis, and I'm going to try my best to get you exactly what we're talking about. However, I just want to kind of let you know something. Based on the information you just given me, there is a possibility that they might increase the rate a little bit. Now, let me explain what they mean. Sometimes some companies will just say, no, we don't want you, and reject you. But I'm going to submit this with a company that says, you know what, due to your situation and the medication you're taking and the situations in your health right now, instead of, pick a number, whatever your sale is, $58 a month, it may be $73 a month. Now, I just need to know from you, Mr. and Ms. Client, if that happens, are we going to have some leg room here that we can move around a little bit and adjust the coverage, or would you be willing to pay the premium based on them finding out the situation? Because if this particular company says it's going to be $73, I can assure you there's about 6 to 8 more companies out here that would just turn you down flat. And that's why I chose this company. So will you work with me a little bit on this if it happens? And they'll say, yeah, I appreciate you being honest. I'll work with you. Or, no, I won't. Well, you need to know now, folks. You don't need to come back in there and say, you know, agents call me all the time. Well, you know, that sorry company, they raided my client, and I can't place the business. Man, they won't write nothing. You know what? It's not that they want to rate people. It's the health situations that get them rated. It's just common sense stuff, folks. Okay? Now, number 6, leave a packet of information that you put together that includes brochures, credit backing, whatever, what they bought, any of the products, something that'll create new sales, folks. That's your goal here. That's number 6. So if you're going to talk to them about the 401k, you need something on their annuities. If you're going to talk to these people about coverage for the parents, then you need something to cover that, to take care of that. If you're going to talk to these people about coverage for the children, for college education, for whatever the case may be, get some brochures together and leave them with them and say, when I come back and deliver your policy, we're going to talk about this and get this situation taken care of. So you want to create more sales. Here's what I found out. One sale per household, customer leaves. It's about a 90% chance they're going to leave you. Somebody else is going to come in and replace your business. 2 sales per household, you're about 50-50. 3 sales per household, client for life. Forget about it. Nobody's coming in. You got, whether it's a mother and a father, a son, them, a daughter, whatever the case may be, 3 sales per household, client for life. Anything they need financially wise, they're going to call you. Very simple process. All right? Now, here's how you get referrals, folks. Here's how we want you to start building your business. All right. Never, number 7, never, ever, ever say thank you. That's the big one. You just committed the big one. See, if you're sitting at a kitchen table and you just closed a sale on someone, and at that point in time you say, thank you for your business, I really appreciate it. By the way, do you know anybody else I can make money off of? You don't get referrals. Now you say, I would never say that. You know what? Here's number one lesson in sales. Doesn't matter what you say, it's what they hear that counts. That's where you got to understand. The words coming out of your mouth could mean totally different than what you want them to mean, but you know what's going into their ears is what counts. That's the bottom line, folks. And what I'm saying is the person being serviced or served should always say thank you. Now, let's reverse this. Instead of saying thank you, you need to say, are you happy with the service that I was able to do for you here this evening? Oh, yeah, Philip, I really appreciate it. It went great, all of this. You say, well, I'm glad I could be of service to you, glad I could take care of this situation for you. By the way, do you know of anybody else that I could help? Now, folks, that's the difference. See, when you say, do you feel like I've done a good job for you? Are you happy with the service I provide? And they say, yeah, thank you. I really appreciate it. Great. Do you know of anybody else I could be of service to? Now, such as, friends, family, neighbors, people you work with, people you go to church with, people you know that need extra income. The different things that we're looking for, folks, this is the time. So if I say that and I say, you got any family members that just purchased a home that may need this kind of protection? Yeah, my sister and brother-in-law just bought one. Great. What's their name? Bill and Sue Smith. Okay, thanks. How about your next-door neighbors? How long have they been there? They just moved in about 6 months ago. You like them? Yeah. Well, man, you wouldn't want to see something happen to one of them, and then they have to move out, and you get new neighbors in, and maybe they got dogs and all this stuff. So why don't we get their name, write it down, and we'll say, okay, well, that's Bill and Sue, whatever. And you write that name. How about anybody you work with? They bought homes, purchased, refinanced, any of that stuff? Oh, you know what? Yeah. Oh, John and Jane, they did so-and-so. Great. Well, next thing you know, folks, you got 10 or 12 names laying right there on a piece of paper. Now, here's the final question for you. You're going to say, well, you know what, folks? Do you know anybody that can use some extra income that could possibly do what I just did this evening? I know you guys wouldn't be interested yourself, but I'm looking to hire two or three people in this area. We get in anywhere from 18,000 to 20,000 of these leads a week, and we desperately need help of people to get out there and help these families for us. And they can pick up an extra $1,000, $1,500 a week on a part-time basis. Would you know of anybody like that? Yeah, me. Great. Then we need to talk. I'll get you some information when I come back in, blah, 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 blah. Or I have a meeting set up Monday evening. My agency manager, my mentor is going to be there. He's going to talk about the business, about the opportunity. I'll tell you what, do you know anybody else, sisters, brothers, could use that extra income? Yeah. Well, why don't you get three or four of them together and yourself, and y'all come over Monday evening and be my guest at 7 o'clock. I'll introduce you to the guy, take about an hour and a half, and he'll go over it with you, and you can see what you think about it. How about that? Boom. Now you're recruiting, you're selling, and you're getting referrals, okay? Now, folks, here's the important thing. You're sitting there with all these names spelled out right there on the piece of paper, but you have no phone numbers on them, okay? So you're going to have to hand that over to Mrs. Smith and say, if you don't mind, would you go ahead and list the phone numbers there so I can get in touch with these people? Now, what's she going to say? You know, I don't know where I got the phone numbers at. I know where they're at. They're in that little black book that's laying on the table. See, there's a dual purpose for me to have that black book laying on the table. Number one, I wanted my name in it. Number two, I want the names out of it. And she's already found it, located it, and brought it to the table. But if I ask her at this point and it's not on the table, she conveniently can't remember where it's at. And she conveniently never gives me the numbers. Folks, when I leave there, I need those 10, 12, 15 numbers and names, because in my mind, if I don't get that tonight before I leave, tomorrow I wake up out of business. See, it's just that simple. Now, are we going to do everything we can do to get leads? Absolutely. We're going to do everything we can do to double leads? Absolutely. But what would happen, folks? Think about this. What would happen tomorrow if all of a sudden regulations, state approval, state disapprovals, whatever, shut us down and said we could never mail again? What would we do? Oh, my gosh, I don't know what we'd do. We would get referrals from people, and we would go door to door, and we would take care of people's needs just like we're doing now. The need's not going to go away. And I don't think the lead's going to go away. I'm just trying to teach you how to fish so you can eat for life, folks. Those 10 to 15 referrals is your business. And if you call up Bob and Sue and you tell them that Bill and Jane referred you, you got an in. They know Bill and Jane, and they know Bill and Jane ain't going to send nobody over to sell a bunch of junk. Okay? Very simple. Now, here's another thing, folks, that I want you to learn how to do. I want you to create an overwhelming power statement. All right? Now, your power statement's got to be your power statement. But here's all you're trying to do from a person. You're trying to trigger this person that you're talking to say, huh, pretty neat, man. How do you do that? Now, let me give you an example. If I'm talking to somebody in line, and I'm talking to somebody at the grocery store or wherever I'm at, and I'm introducing myself, I'm always going to say, what do you do for a living? You live around here, and what do you do for a living? Well, yeah, I live close by, and I work for whatever, Goodyear, you know, wherever they work. Man, that's a great job. That's an unbelievable job. You know, I worked out there for about 10 years. They got good benefits. They do this. They do that. You're working it dry, you know, and I'm just going to compliment them. And they're going to stop me, and they're going to say, you worked at that for 10 years, and you still feel that way about them? Do you realize that this, and they're going to tell me everything wrong with the job. They're going to tell me that they're on strike right now. They're going to tell me that they're trying to take all the benefits away from them. They're going to tell me that whatever's going on is going on. And then they're going to say, by the way, what do you do for a living? And I'm going to simply say, I hire people and show them how to go out on a part-time basis, a couple evenings a week, and pick up an extra $1,000, $1,500 a week on a part-time basis. And they say, man, that's pretty neat. How do you do that? Well, it's a simple thing that we do. We show people how to protect their homes in a way that if they pass away, the coverage is taken care of, the family doesn't ever have to worry about a place to live, and if they actually live through the term of the deal, we'll give them all the money back. And they say, man, that's pretty cool. I said, look, give me your name and number, let me give you a call, and I'll get in touch with you. One evening next week, I'll come by and sit down, talk with you and your wife, take me about 15 minutes. If you're interested, great. If not, you'll never hear from me again. It's worth 15 minutes of your time, see if it's for you. Now, did I give them my card? No. Did I ask for their name and number? Yes, because they will throw my card away, and I'll be expecting them to call me, and I'll be sitting by the phone, all eager, all nervous, all jittery, thinking it's going to happen, and it never happens. So get their name and number, and you make the call, folks. Take charge of your business, okay? Now, here's the last thing that I want to talk to you about on making these clients and locking them in for life. Very simple. I want you to get a 3x5 card, and I know we live in the day of the computer. I understand it, folks. But I didn't say computer. I said get a 3x5 card. Okay? There's a reason for the way that I do what I do. All right? On this 3x5 card, I want you to create an index file on your clients. Name, spouse's name, children's name. It's all on the application. Okay? Date of birth, something about them, any information, address, phone number, cell number, you name it. You create a file that tells you who these people are when you go back through it, that it will jog your memory. They lived in a red house on the corner, whatever the deal is, okay? You create the file. Now, that takes 6 contacts, folks, to make a customer a client for life. The first one we talk about every week. You contact them on the telephone and you set the appointment. That's number one. You actually do the appointment in the home. That's number two. Okay, you've talked to them on the phone, now you went to the home. For me, you deliver the policy. That's number three. That's the third time you're there. Now, what do I do on policy delivery? I actually close another sale about 85% of the time. Okay, I've gotten the information. I've left them the information that I just discussed with you, that I just went over, and they're waiting on me to come back to talk to them about that 401K or retirement or annuity or whatever it is I'm going to do. And I deliver the policy, cover it, and I write that college funding policy for the child or whatever the case may be. Now, that's 3 contacts, folks. That's where it ends for most people. That's where it starts for me. Because when I walk out of that door and I create my 3x5 file and I put it in on a little Rolodex and I set it on my desk, and when I sit down and I make my appointments, folks, and I go through my leads and then I go through my B leads and I go through my referrals, then I go to my index file. And I start calling the clients. It's been 30 days since I've been in their home. And I have it categorized. And I want you to understand something. If it's been 30 days since I've been there, I'm going to call them up and I'm going to say, Bill, this is Philip, man. How you doing? Oh, I'm doing great, bud. Look, you remember when I was in there last and me and you talked and you told me you wanted to get that 401K taken care of? Yeah. Well, I never did get back by there to get that taken care of. You didn't have the information when I delivered the policy. Did you ever pick that up? Man, you know, as a matter of fact, I did. Well, how about, I'll tell you what, I'm setting appointments now. Monday evening, I'm going to be in your area. How about 7:30? I'll drop by. It won't take over 30 minutes. We'll get it taken care of. Boom. Set an appointment. Now, I ain't got to go through no long drawn-out something on credibility, whatever. The guy's already a client. He already knows how I'm going to take care of him. He already knows I'm right to the point. I'm not going to come in there and waste his time. He already knows he wants to do it. So I'm just going to come by at 7:30 Monday evening and take care of it. Now, how would I know 7:30 Monday evening's open? Because I'm sitting at my desk, I'm setting appointments. I got my calendar in front of me. I've been through my leads. I've been through my referrals, and now I'm in my Rolodex. People say, well, I went through my leads. Nobody answered, so I went and watched TV, but I worked hard. Took you 10 minutes to go through your leads. Go back through your clients, folks. Now, how about if you were going to sell them, you know, a passport for the children? How about if you was going to talk to them about their protection on their mother and father, so if something happened, they wouldn't have that financial burden on them? Whatever the case was, all right? Now, 30 more days later, folks, I'm making appointments. I'm setting. I'm calling. I go to my Rolodex, and I got my 60-day file. I call them up. Jim, Bill, Bob, whatever his name is. Man, this is Philip. How you doing, buddy? And he's thinking to himself, man, this dude's done sold me something. He done called me here a month ago. A month later, he's calling me again. This is unreal. And I said, dude, you remember when I was in there and we talked? By the way, your son was getting ready to go to a softball tournament. Did he win that thing or not? Well, yeah, he actually did, man. Thanks for asking. How did I know his son was going? I wrote it on my Rolodex, folks. I wrote it on my Rolodex, all right, and wrote it on my little card. Now, remember we was going to take care of your neighbor? Well, I can't seem to get through. Or your brother? Would you do me a favor? Would you call your brother and kind of introduce me to him and tell him who I am? Because he just won't take my call, and he really needs to know how important this is, and I think you could get that across to him, because if something happened, you wouldn't want to have to be taking care of your sister-in-law, would you? No, I really wouldn't. Well, then, if you'd call him, I really would appreciate it. Thanks, man. Okay, great. Later. Now, 30 more days later, folks, trust me, I'm making appointments. I'm at my desk. I hit the Rolodex. Here's old Bill again. I pick your phone up and call him. Bill, man, just want to wish you a happy birthday. Now, how do I know it's his birthday? Because it's on the card, okay? Or just want to wish your wife a happy birthday or your child or whatever the case may be. By the way, man, you remember when I was in and we were talking and I told you I was looking for some people? I needed some people in this area. Well, man, we had just got an unbelievable response on these people that need protection, and I really desperately need some help getting to these people. Did you ever think of anybody that could use some little extra part-time money? You know, we talked about that. Well, yeah, as a matter of fact, man, my brother was just over here, and he told me he really needed to make some money. Well, tell you what, I'm having a meeting Monday. How about if I come by and pick you and him up, and we go to the meeting, and I introduce you to the guy that's running the deal in this area, and boom, 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 boom. Okay? Now, folks, let me tell you something. Those six contacts right there, client for life, it's over. Their children's children's children need coverage. They're going to call you when they need it. It's a done deal. Okay? Very simple technique, very easy technique, but you know what? It's tough sometimes to follow it. But here's what I'll end with, which is the same thing I started with. If you're really and truly passionate about it, if you're committed to it, if you're coachable, okay, if you're treating people like they should be treated, all of that's down pat. Folks, you won't have a problem following this system and taking these customers and making them clients for life. It'll fall in place. It'll be a very smooth transition. And let me tell you something. If you're a manager and you're actually out here hiring and training and putting people in place, you want to teach these people how to do this. And for you to be able to teach them how to do it, you're going to need to be able to do it first. Okay? So lead from the front, folks. Get out there. Set the example. Make it happen. And let me give you a couple of announcements of things that's getting ready to take place, and then we'll get off of here today. Bottom line, next week, I know I'm going to be in Ohio. I know starting this week, Andy Albright's going to be in Atlanta on the 1st. ABN, I think, is somewhere in Cleveland, something like that, on the 1st. Look for the stuff out on the website. It's out there. They got meetings going on in New Jersey with Newark, New Jersey, with Jay Channing and Stephen Davies. Like I said, next week I'm going to be in Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky. The following week, I know Barry's going to Tampa, Alabama, Chicago. We got meetings all over the U.S., folks. You need to get to the recruiting part of this business, get the people excited, get them pumped up, get them in front of the managers as they're coming around, and, folks, it'll get your business jump-started for what we talked about early on in this call. Okay?